It's time for the Power Hour of Love, starring Charboil and
El Bandito. Welcome to the fiesta.
Right now. Hey everybody, how you doing? This is Charboil and with me is
El Bandito.
Welcome to the Power Hour of Love on Podunk Radio. How you doing tonight, El Bandito?
Ooh, I am doing very good, senor, and I'd like to welcome everyone to the Geek Hour, the newest hourly block here on podunk.com.
Absolutely, man. Right before us, we have Underground Horror Radio with Nicole Jordan and also our special guest, Mr. Justin McPatches. And then the second half is us here on Power Hour of Love with Charboil and
El Mandito.
Yeah, man. Woo. Want to talk about a pretty wild couple of weeks, man. Like, you know, just a week ago, we are partying with green jello.
You know it. That was pretty exciting to see Bill Manspeaker in the flesh. And I have to say, it was pretty funny that a number of people at the event kept saying that they thought this was going to be a cover band because of the way that, you know, green jello spells their name now with a Y with a little asterisk thing.
Yep,
and,
yep.
You know, I feel bad if, you know, people didn't get the memo, but nope, that was Bill Manspeaker himself, the real green jello. And it was quite an amazing show.
Absolutely, man. You know, and it's like, it's funny because a lot of people now, you know, have forgotten that the reason green jello had to change that was because they got sued by Kraft Foods back in the 90s.
Yeah, because they make green jello.
Yes, it's actually the name of the product. So, yeah, they, you know, caused them. You know, it's funny, like, you know, besides Kraft Foods, you know, like green jello actually got sued by Metallica.
Oh, really? Why is that?
During the original recording of Electric Harley House of Love, they did a sample of Enter Sandman,
you know,
and like, yeah, totally, like Metallica's management totally came down on them for that.
Oh, well, that's, you know, it's one of the most iconic and sinister intros in all of music.
Yeah.
So I can imagine being like, no, that's fucking ours. Thank you very much.
Not to mention that was literally like a year after it had come out. So, you know, that shit was like at its height.
Yeah, it was like just out.
I mean, it is iconic now, obviously, like, you know, classic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, at that time it was like the number one chart topping metal song.
You know what that reminds me? I have to ask you this because you're a bit better of a musical aficionado than myself. But I remember there used to be an advertisement. I think it was for like Sam's Club.
Uh-huh.
And they used to use a cut from that song, you know, Signs Everywhere, Signs Mucking Up the Scenery. You know that song?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know the name of it. Probably Signs, right?
Signs, yeah, you okay. Got it. You got
well,
it.
Well, didn't they used to use that clip where they says, the sign says, do you have to be a member ship to get inside or something? Like,
yeah,
they actually use that like in the commercial.
You know, and hey, at least, you know, they're telling people right out front that if you come in here without being a member, you know. But yeah, actually, yeah, I
but it seemed
correct.
Totally contradictory to the message of the song to be like.
Well, you know that a lot of people know that song as a Tesla song, you know, another mm-hmm. band from like the 80s and stuff. But I know there was an earlier group that did Signs, but I just can't remember the name right now. But yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, that's really funny.
Yeah, it was an old commercial. I don't know if it was Costco or Sam's Club or BJ's or one of those, you know, membership big mart store things. So,
well, people, like you said, if they thought Green Jello was going to be a cover band, they definitely weren't reading all the signs that were posted at the distillery and all over town, you know, promoting it as the legendary Grammy nominated Green Jello.
No doubt. And even most of the flyers and things that I saw like had illustrations of Bill Manspeaker. I mean,
you know, absolutely. Like, yeah, you know, it's just funny sometimes. No matter how much you can advertise something, there's always going to be somebody who maybe misunderstands something.
Yeah.
Such as like with like the digital evening with Jim Rose. Some people thought Jim Rose was actually going to be in the building.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously said, you know, a teleconference and so. But
I have to say, yeah. I was kind of disappointed. I thought you were going to get fingered by Jim Rose, you know, digital evening.
Digitally. That's true. You can always, you know, sometimes those verbiage, you know, like you just never know where to take it.
You can have some fun with that. But so what else happened in these exciting last few weeks?
Well, like we were saying, man, like, you know, just to elaborate a little more on that Green Jello show, you know, not just with Green Jello, we also had the adventures of Dwayne and Brando come down from Flint, Michigan, and technically Kansas as well, because Brando has now relocated.
Ooh.
But yeah, they were great. We got to hang out with them. It was like a reunite of of our own with Dwayne and Brando. We haven't seen them probably in about, geez, probably 5 or 6 years now.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while. The last time we saw them, I think, was it Nerdapalooza?
I think, it would have been, the last time we saw Dwayne probably would have been like around Nerdapalooza 2012. But I think the last time I saw them separately at Nerdapalooza 2011. But together, we saw them at Nerdapalooza 2010 when they rocked as Dwayne and Brando then.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's been about, 5 or 6 years since we've seen those guys together. So it was really cool. They haven't missed a beat. They definitely still get up there and rock the stage and have their props and stuff and the projector. And tell them a little bit about the projector at the distillery.
Well, our brilliant audiovisual technician, he didn't make sure that the projector was thoroughly secured to the ceilings, which arguably is, probably the building's responsibility whatever.
Well,
but it was nice that they put such bass in there. This, Maximum Entertainment, they puts on the shows and they have these sound guys come in and they put some bass in there that just thumped and just shook the projector slowly across the stage until it was only half lined up with the screen and everything. And it was pretty crazy.
I think you told me a couple members of the audience were trying to beat the projector with various objects to try to get it to
Somebody had found a stand from a cymbal kit, and they were trying to whack the projector back into place. And, I finally said, okay, hold on, let me run over here. And I grabbed a little ladder and I ran up there and I grabbed it and I turned it back towards the screen and one of the amplifiers blew out and it shut off all the sound.
Look at that, man. You trying to be a hero. You end up blowing up the amplifier.
That's pretty much the telltale story of our lives as superheroes. Is anytime we try to do good, most of the rest of the world falls to pieces around us.
Hey, but regardless, those guys were up there doing their thing. Mm-hmm. Show got started back up, and without missing a beat, they were able to finish their set.
Oh, absolutely. I was kind of panicking at the time, thinking I was going to get into all sorts of troubles, but Dwayne and Brando, the consummate professionals that they are, continue to banter on stage and make fun of me and the sound man and everything else, and kept the crowd lively and laughing until things got back rolling. So, they're great performers. They're incredible to see live because it's such fast-paced, up-tempo rap, it's all done to the original, 8-bit scores, kind of remixed and remastered, and it is just fantastic stuff, and to see it live and done with props, like you said, they have a Link sword, they have some Mega Man blasters and all this stuff, and, they have a cool stage show. It's awesome to see live. If you get the chance to see the Adventures of Dwayne and Brando anywhere throughout the country, go and see them. If your local place isn't having the Adventures of Dwayne and Brando, call them up. Tell them you need to get them. Send an email to Dwayne and Brando. Tell them they need you in your town. Unless you're in Kentucky, then they will not go to see you.
Well, I did hear back from Dwayne and Brando, once they returned home, and they had said that they had a really great time, even though I know Dwayne ran into some trouble even on his return home dealing with a bus and stuff like that. But that's a story for another day. But definitely, they said they're looking forward to doing some more touring again. So who knows, we might be seeing them back around the area sooner rather than later. But
I hope so. They're an absolute pleasure. They're very engaging with their audience. They hang around the venue the entire rest of the night and will talk to you, and they spend a lot of time talking to me and Senior Boyle, and they're so gracious. We see them talking to other members of the audience and are welcoming, sign autographs also. It's super cool. Guys,
people were buying merchandise, which definitely helps them out a lot. So that was really cool, and I gotta hand it to of course, Green Jello from Hollywood, California, Dwayne and Brando from Michigan, those guys rocked it, but man, I really got to give a hand to the local cats who came out to play that night, Nation of Decay, Carol Stop Calling, and the Ghetto Zombies, because those guys definitely brought it. I mean, the whole show from beginning to end was just great tunes, great vibes. Everybody was positive. I even heard the general manager at the distillery say that, he was so happy that everybody was so cool. Even on some of their dance nights and stuff, they have a fight breakout or something. So to just have such a positive night, Maximum Entertainment did very well. The bar did very well. Mm. You know, everybody left very happy. So that's a plus.
And it's funny because it's the punk community. It's arguably the community that most people expect to be rowdy and cause a lot of trouble and everything like that. And every event we go to from one to the next, and we see the punk audience mixed with the rap audience mixed with whatever the hell kind of audience the Ghetto Zombies gets, which I think is a little bit of everything because those guys are outrageous.
Yep.
But you know, you get all those guys together and you would think it would be a recipe for disaster, but instead all of that music blends together. You know, all these communities locally and throughout the country, you know, they're about the music, you know, and it's great to see those people who come in and they love what they do and they respect other people who do what they do.
Absolutely, El Bandito. Like you said, all around a great night, great thing for this area. And hopefully, you know, also mentioning, you know, Stoke Shows, Big Dog Comics, Distillery, you know, these guys who help, you know, Maximum Entertainment as sponsors to put on these shows. Hopefully they continue to support and bring more people to the area because, yeah, it's really cool when, you know, you got these acts that, you know, you grew up listening to playing in your own backyard.
Oh, absolutely. And before we get to our first musical break here, a big shout out to Podunk Radio for having their 5th anniversary that same night.
Absolutely. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Justin McBatches, thank you for all that you do in Podunk Radio. Thank you for inviting us and letting us come out and meet the fans and the people. And I think we saw, almost two people that knew who we were?
Oh, yeah, I know. Hey, two people's better than none, right?
Where are all you people listening at? I don't know. Are you in another part of the country? Are you in Australia or something?
Absolutely, El Bandito. Yep, definitely. Thanks a lot, Justin. And here we go with our first musical break. We got Dwayne and Brando with their classic Battletoads.
I'm gonna hit you in the face with my big ass fingers. We the Battletoads, bitch, and we don't take no shit. Enemies step up and they get knocked the fuck out. Knocked the fuck out, so what the fuck's up now? Put your bird in the face, he uses mouth as a weapon, run a jet. The goal to keep them all guessing.
How did they do that?
Do what?
Get through that. Links with the snakes, I don't know shit.
And through them, we're coming with the force and we'll be there soon. You can't stop us, motherfucker, no matter what you do. Cause we're the Battletoads.
Around with the Battletoads.
Here we go. Round two. What the hell you gonna do when we take the enemy and kick his ass to the moon? See, I beat the ice zone with precision. Surf down the river like a man on a mission. It's worth the enemies that left them all bitching.
I'm so hungry, I can eat a whole kitchen.
See, the fucking Ninja Turtles ain't got shit on me.
What?
Whoop they ass, soon as do something to my fist. I may be 40, but I got some skill. I got a bitch in all band and a license to kill
with the Battletoads.
Burn with the most I've been for you. It looks like Prince and Sage on the play. People are doomed.
And that was The Adventures of Dwayne and Brando with their classic hit, Battletoads.
Oh, man, the Battletoads, man. I'm telling you, dude. Did you ever play that back in the day?
I did, and much like every other NES game, it was hard as hell. I don't know what kind of penance it was that children had to do by playing. Because you remember, this used to be enjoyment for us. We would try to get out of chores to go and play these games.
Oh, yeah.
And now I play these games as an adult, and all I want to do is twist my controller apart and, you know, scream at the moon. You know
it, man. Well, I remember actually, you know, it was 25 years ago now when Battletoads was released. And I remember hanging out with my buddies, and like it was in the summertime, and I think I just rented it. Like, I didn't own Battletoads, but like I kept it for like 10 days. And like every so often.
Yeah, back 25 years ago, that was $400, kids, in case you're.
Oh, it was a lot. Because I mean, even like, I think you got it for like 3 days at Blockbuster. You know, that was that. I mean, actually, I don't even think it was from Blockbuster. I think it was from like one of the little like local mom and pops, which were pretty cool that back in those days they could compete.
Yeah.
You know, what Blockbuster, and a lot of times, you know, you could get like the movies that you couldn't get at Blockbuster. And there was like horror and sci-fi.
Yeah, they'd have like indie films and things like this, you know?
Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, dude, I remember renting Battletoads and like bringing it home and playing it. It was cool because it was a really neat like two-player experience for, you know, a lot of times the two-player stuff just sucked, but it was very co-op, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was like a mix between like a beat-em-up and then like you'd be going down the wall and like slamming against the side and riding on the like little jet things and say, it was just a lot of fun, but yeah, it was hard. Like, I mean, like I never beat it. That's for sure.
Oh yeah.
So props to Dwayne and Brando for actually being able to beat the game to collect that footage that they have in their video.
Yeah. And for the amazing song that they did.
Oh, of course. You know, the ending of that song, like, just really goes off the rails, and it's just, it's hilarious. Yeah, high five.
I have to say, that was the one thing that always got me about the game, that I couldn't get that into it, is the fact that they call them like Zit and Rash. And like, it's just gross to me.
Funny.
This is not sexy at all. I don't want to play this game.
Well, like you said, it was totally just trying to capitalize on, like, you know, the Ninja Turtles and every other like anamorphic like battle guy. Remember, there was like Street Sharks and like Robot Mars or Robot Men from Mars.
Do you remember the mouse people?
That's what it was.
The biker mice from Mars.
Biker mice from Mars. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. You know what's funny though? I remember those toys were actually pretty badass. They had like their like little motorcycle.
That show was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they were all like very like, you know, post-apocalyptic. Like the mouse was like missing an eye and shit. Mm-hmm. And, man, some of those.
That was some brutal shit.
Dude, I know we were talking about it earlier, and it's just like, yeah, just the way that cartoons have gone from, you know, being like the He-Man kind of stuff, and then like Thundercats, and, you know, eventually into like we said, like Ninja Turtles, Batman, Biker Mice, Exo Squad was another one that was like, you know, big back and, you know, trying to capitalize on that Japanese animation that was kind of popping up over here, getting really popular. But yeah, man, absolutely. And like, as we could see in that video, there must have been some sort of a Battletoads cartoon at one point, but I never saw that one.
Yeah, I don't think I'm familiar with that either. There is a popular cartoon show from our childhood that I do remember watching quite a bit.
Which one's that?
Ghostbusters.
Oh, man, here we go. Here we go again. Yeah, definitely, man. Ghostbusters was just so good, you know?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And before we get on a big rant about that, I do just want to throw the shout out to the Secret Identity Commentary, which is kind of our sister show. It's on YouTube, and it's an audio commentary that plays along with a regular movie that you can rent, you know, on Amazon Prime. Maybe you own the DVD, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you can catch them on Netflix. And for our first installment, we watched the original 1984's Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. And
that was a good time.
Yeah, we have a special guest in studio with us when we do these recordings. And for this movie, we had Miss Kelly Jade, a local YouTube and blogger star, and all these people.
She was very cool because, you know, Kelly Jade hadn't seen the movie in a long time. So it was kind of like watching it, you know, almost like for the first time with her. And even though she like remembered, like she'd be like, hey, is that the marshmallow? You know, like there'd like be bits and pieces, you know, and just, you know, obviously there's the pop culture stuff that everybody kind of knows when you hear Ghostbusters. But it was like, it was cool because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I know me and you kind of like almost know that movie like the back of our hand. But like, you know, for her, it was like news. So she was asking some questions about it and this and that. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun, man. It's really cool to get to kind of just cut loose and like, you know, watch some of our favorite movies and, you know, and get the other people can enjoy them with us too.
Yeah, so if you want to check it out, you know, you can look us up. We're the Secret Identity Commentary on Facebook, the Secret Identity Commentary on YouTube. You know, I think it's secretidentitycommentary@gmail.com.
Yep,
like,
yep.
That's why we picked such a long, unusual name, is that you can find it anywhere just typing in what the name is specifically.
Yep.
So, yeah, make sure to like us on there. Check out our video. You know, watch it along with the original Ghostbusters movie and have a blast with us. And we're going to give a shout out to our next episode.
Oh, cool. What are we watching this time?
We're going to be watching Masters of the Universe.
Oh, man. Classic Dolph Lundgren and
Frank Langella, actually. Dude, until we were about to watch this for the commentary, I absolutely always thought that that was Jack Palance. Yeah, he looks like Jack Palance does, you know, in like...
Grumpy Old Men.
Yeah, City Slickers and stuff.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But the...
Curly's Gold.
But yeah, I thought that was him. I totally did. But no, that's Frank Langella, who, you know, you probably know from a lot of other famous movies and things like this. It escapes me off the top of my head, but...
Actually, I'm drawing a blank too, but he is obviously a very classic... actor.
Yeah.
And not to spoil anything in the movie, but do you know that that's one of like the few 80s movies that actually has a little coda at the end?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Well, we'll have to wait till we actually watch it for you to see it. But yeah.
Yeah, and all you beautiful people out there, make sure to check out the commentary. Grab the movie on Amazon or something like this and join us for a listen to this classic movie.
Absolutely. It's going to be a blast. Masters of the Universe. And oh, man.
Yeah. Like, another port of a, you know, well, that's the reverse, though. And in Ghostbusters, the movie came out first and then they had the cartoon. But this one was a cartoon first and then it became a movie.
Oh, yeah.
And what the fuck happened in between the cartoon and the movie? I have no idea.
Well, I'm sure we'll get to it later on in the Secret Identity commentaries. But, you know, it almost kind of has that same feel as like, when the first Ninja Turtles came out, you know, it was like, it was so different, but then to come to find out that, you know, the Ninja Turtles movie was very close to the comic books.
Right.
You're right. Like Masters of the Universe has no excuse, but you know, it's funny about Masters of the Universe, being that, G.I. Joe and, Transformers, like those shows were made. Well, I mean, G.I. Joe's obviously had toys way back in the day, the dolls and stuff. Mm-hmm. But like they were those cartoons were made to sell toys.
Yes.
Well, same thing with Masters of the Universe. Somehow they were just like, oh, well, let's do something that's kind of like medieval with dragons and stuff like that.
But then also like laser guns and things.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I'll be honest, I remember I have this old graphic novel of Masters of the Universe and same thing. Like it's a little rougher around the edges than like the TV show. It's really cool artwork, very like Frank Forenza style, you know, because that's, you know, when you think about it, like Conan and stuff like, I mean, it literally, you know, He-Man's like, kind of like a major ripoff of Conan, you know? So it's like, you know, I just think they were like, well, we want to make Conan, but like, that's a little...
Yeah, and then they were like, but we don't want to pay for the rights to Conan.
Yeah. You know, Arnold would have totally wanted to do that voiceover. He'd be like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do Conan.
By the power of Grayskull.
Crumb laughs as he before wins. But definitely, yeah, I look forward to watching, you know, the Masters of the Universe, and we're also going to have a special guest, but you'll have to wait and tune in to the Secret Identity commentaries to find out who.
Yeah, it's our special mystery guest. But as promised in the Secret Identity commentary for the Ghostbusters, we did mention that we would go and see the new Ghostbusters movie, which honestly now I'm definitely not going to call a reboot.
Oh, okay.
You know, because it is so very different than the original movie that I was pleasantly surprised.
Well, that's awesome, man. I do have to admit, you know, I didn't live up to my expectations and I haven't got to see it yet, but obviously, you know, feel free, you know, to kind of enlighten me on some of what you thought of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna give it a glowing recommendation for you to go then. So,
oh, awesome.
But we are going to get Miss Kelly Jade on the line to talk with us. Because she did go out on a date with me to go see the movie.
Oh, ooh. man. I tell you, that's like a win-win situation for you right there, man.
Yeah,
you
know? it was a win-win for me, that's for sure. So, because I got to see a great movie. And
well, let me ask you, was it only a great movie just because of your company?
No, actually, she was very quiet during the movie, which I appreciate from a woman.
Oh, well, there you go. It definitely wasn't like when we watched the first Ghostbusters and we were like, blah, 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 blah. She's like, guys, I'm trying to watch the movie. We're like, no, it's a commentary. You're supposed to talk.
She was telling me how much that she didn't understand from watching the commentary. That she's like, I can't follow the major plot points because you guys keep talking through. She's like, the comedy was great, but I have no understanding of what is going on screen. So.
She's like, I like the new one a lot better because you guys weren't talking through.
So yeah, if you're going to join us for the Secret Identity commentary, probably watch the movie ahead of time because we're going to be talking through it. That's the commentary portion. Duh.
Absolutely. Well,
it's going to take us just a minute to get Miss Kelly Jade on the line.
While we get to that, here's our next musical guest. We got a special track here. This is In This Moment with a cover of the classic Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
You let me desecrate you.
And that was In This Moment with the El Bandito theme song, Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
Absolutely, El Bandito. What'd you think of, what did you think of that track?
Oh, I love that track, man. That pretty much embodies my entire philosophy on life.
With those lyrics and everything.
Do you know it?
Do you sometimes call yourself God?
Women do.
They want to get closer to you.
They do, and they want to be closer to God, so I make them say it over and over and over again.
Absolutely, man. No, that was a pretty cool cover. I remember we saw In This Moment a few years ago at that Rockville show.
They were fantastic.
Absolutely. You know, watching that video and stuff like that, it's like you see a lot of more stage performance than you usually see in most like hard rock metal kind of stuff, but I like it. You know, it's like, you know, you're more accustomed to seeing that in more of like a pop show and stuff, but like, you know, how they put in kind of like, you know, weird face mask and
Maybe I'm in left field here by saying so, but to me, when I go to see a live performance, I don't want to see someone just stand there and play guitar.
Sure.
Like, come on, do something, perform for me, you know? And it's like, yeah, I guess that comes from the day of concert pianists and things like that, where they would just walk out and sit on the stage, do their thing, and you listen.
Sure.
But with today's like crystal clear audio that we can get on our Wi-Fi stereo systems anywhere we go, it's kind of like we need a little more than that.
Yeah, you want to see an actual performance.
Yeah, and to see a video like this, like you said, you know, and to see a performance like when we saw them live and they have the costume changes and the giant spider webs and they're crawling around and they have sexy, beautiful women everywhere and the guys are all painted up with like skeleton paints and they're headbanging with their long dreadlocks. I mean, that's exciting and that's fun. And it was pouring rain at the Rockville in Jacksonville and everyone's stomping around in the mud and throwing mud and,
you know,
just in the pit, excited to be beholding this amazing, empowering act, and it's a lot of fun and it really gets the energy pumping, man. So yeah, I'm all for stage showing it up a bit. Let's do it.
You know it, man. And just like, you know, like when we see acts like Green Jello and stuff like that, you see a little more performance than just like, you know, like you said, guys just up there jamming out. You know, in some cases, you know, sometimes if everyone in the band plays an instrument, it does restrict them a little bit. But I get what you're saying. Like, get up there, dance around, move your feet, you know. Like, yeah, you could definitely put a little more energy into the performance.
Even the king himself shook that ass when he had to.
You know it, man. You know, the king, yeah, definitely, man. Well, hey, you know, I think you said during that song that we have a, that you were able to get in touch with Miss Kelly Jade.
Yes, we have got her on the line here, but you know, I wanted to check with you. You don't want any spoilers from the movie since you didn't get to see it yet, huh?
Yeah, I better split. I'm gonna
You jump outside the studio real quick. I'm gonna chat with her and let all the beautiful people out there hear a quick review and some of the highlights of the movie that we enjoyed.
Cool. I'm gonna go eat a taco.
Okay, so now Senor Boyle has left the studio, and if anyone else out there doesn't want any spoilers or anything like this, it might be a good time for you to turn the radio up real loud and listen very closely, because we have Miss Kelly Jade on the line. Hello, Miss Kelly Jade. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And how are you?
Ooh, I'm doing very good, especially after our super sexy date last week. I was telling everyone about what a good times I had.
Yeah, it was definitely a good time where we went and saw the new Ghostbusters movie, and there was a little bit of passion. Am I allowed to say that on the radio?
Well, considering we are here on Podunk Radio, you can say whatever the fuck you want. That's okay.
Yes, I had a very good time on our date.
Well, let me go ahead and ask you a couple questions about the movies, though.
Okay, sure.
Because I'm sure that's really what all the fans are looking for. They don't want to care to listen to all these sexual trysts of, you know. First off, what did you think of the movie as compared to the original? Like, did you like the storyline better in the new movie? Could you follow it much with us talking during the commentary, or?
I did like it better. I did like the new movie better because I followed what was going on a little bit easier, and I found the characters very modern and relatable. Now, that doesn't necessarily take away from the merit of the first movie, especially since I did miss a lot of it because we were doing the commentary and so forth. So I think to fairly answer that question, I would have to sit down and rewatch the first one and then watch the second one again. But as it stands now, I did find myself enjoying the second one, or the remake, a little bit more.
Okay, well, one thing's for sure, as we were discussing about that, is that, you know, it's not really a traditional reboot in the sense of, like, it's the same story retold again. I mean, this story was completely different than the original.
Yeah, it was very different. I could see how they took kind of similar elements as far as, you know, in the beginning of the first one, you had the haunting at the library, which kicks off the events, and in the new one, it was the haunting at the mansion mm-hmm. that kind of, you know, kicked off thing. And then you had the characters, the way that they came together as far as you had an event that brought them back and kind of really kick-started this, this ghost investigating and scientific research thing. And so you had a lot of the same elements, but mm-hmm. used in a much different way. And I really like that they took those elements as kind of a foundation to build on and then spun it into their own original story. I thought that was very cleverly done and very entertaining.
Absolutely, because, you know, we've been seeing a lot of these movies lately with, like, Star Trek movies and the Spider-Man movies and things like that that are just rehashings of the same story, you know, even Superman told again and again. And it's mm-hmm. like, well, we know the story. Like, give us something new, something entertaining. And I think this is the first time that, you know, a reboot has really done that, where it's completely different and a well-executed story. It's still the hero's journey and things like this. And now, did you find the movie more relatable because the main characters were women?
I think so. I think that because, you know, the first one centers around male characters, it might be more relatable to boys watching and men watching, especially when you have the kind of supernatural nature of it. And it's not the traditionally supernatural where you have like floating haunting ghosts and stuff. You have like mm-hmm. the slime and whatnot and kind of elements that make the first one seem more like a man's movie. But when you put those same elements with a female cast, it does kind of reach in and pull in those viewers who might originally shy away from the first one because sure. Of the male elements that find these characters relatable, especially with the backstory of the Kristen Wiig's character,
mm-hmm.
Where, you know, this goes back to her childhood and, you know, she saw this ghost and her friend Abby was the only one who believed her about it.
Sure.
You know, having that foundation and things, I think a lot of women, and I think people in general, can relate to those sorts of aspects of, you know, wanting to fit in and not being able to forming friendships and so mm-hmm. forth and rebuilding friendships after they've drifted apart.
Oh, absolutely. And people coming together on the basis of something that they believe and beliefs and seeing things for the first time is a big part of the original movie, obviously a big part of this movie as well. So it's an interesting point to bring up. You're absolutely right on that, you know, it's kind of that weird telling of the hero's journey where you are being shown the beliefs of these people and how they kind of come to life for not only them, but the people around them.
Right.
Now, which of the four girls did you like the best?
That's very hard to say. I found each of them appealing in their own way. I think that I personally related to Kristen Wiig's character the most because is kind of trying to be taken seriously in a field, you know, that is very important to her career and has very little room for anything paranormal or supernatural. Mm-hmm. And again, you have that idea of trying to fit into what society wants and so forth. But she's also kind of meek and, you know, starts out as being a little bit on the mouthy side. And then through the film, she becomes a little bit more empowered. And I really like that in her character. That said, I thought that the character of Patty was a great addition to the cast. And I liked how, even though she wasn't a scientist, she still had value to add to the team.
Absolutely.
Abby's character was great, and Melissa McCarthy, of course, is great and everything she does. And the blonde one was just very entertaining. I can't remember her name right now, but with all of her experiments and projects and so forth, which is very entertaining.
Yeah, definitely. I would have to say she was my favorite. She was almost like the Harley Quinn element to the whole movie there, where she was just zany and weird for like no reason. And But she helped kind of pull it all together and keep you laughing the whole time and keep you guessing at what was going on. But I have to say my favorite character, I think, was Chris Hemsworth, their Mimbo receptionist.
Yeah, I like the direction that they took his character, where he's literally just a pretty face and nothing more.
No doubt. I think it really turns that trope on its head, you know? I mean, in the original movie, Janine was not a dope by any stretch, you know? but considering this was an all-female cast, to kind of play that card seemed kind of funny. So I did enjoy that. But, you know, it's funny that you like Kristen Wiig's character the most and you say you find it the most relatable because she wasn't very outgoing in the movie. But you're obviously a very outgoing person with all of your YouTubing and blogging and things like that. Why don't you let all the beautiful people know where they can find you online?
Well, I do have a YouTube channel, and I'm only outgoing when nobody can actually see me and this is me alone with my camera. But I like to make videos about things that happen every day and kind of make them humorous situations. For example, when you can't sleep at night or when you can't find that one thing that you're looking for and so forth, and just kind of comedic dramatizations of that. My YouTube channel is Kelly Jade, and you can find me there. And I'm also on Instagram, Kelly Jade, K-E-L-L-L-Y Jade, because the one with two L's is already taken. So it's Kelly with three L's, J-A-D-E, and that's pretty much where you can find my online presence.
Okay, well, hopefully all of the beautiful people out there will be able to connect with you, and hopefully El Bandito will be able to connect with you again in the future.
Oh, that would be very nice.
All right, thank you for joining us.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. So there you have it, a growing recommendation from Miss Kelly Jade about the new Ghostbusters movie and a second by myself, El Bandito. It really was a fantastic movie. We give it a 5-star review, so everyone feel free to go out there and see it and send us a comment on Facebook or at powerhourofloveatgmail.com and let us know what you thought of the movie. Okay, let me go ahead and get Senor Bull back in here.
This is a really good taco.
Well, I'm glad you are enjoying yourself, Senor.
Yeah, this is like my fifth one.
Well, it looks like you have one of those taco party packs with you there, and you got a few more to finish. So let's, why don't I give you a minute to finish that up, and we'll hear a quick word from our sponsors.
Sounds good. Hey, El Bandito, what are you up to?
Well, Charbel, we have so many emails to send out for the Power Hour of Love here on Podunk Radio that I usually work on sending emails all day.
Have you heard about GMAS?
No, what is GMAS?
GMAS is a powerful mass email and marketing service for Gmail.
Really? Everyone uses Gmail nowadays. What else can GMAS do?
Use GMAS inside of Gmail to send marketing campaigns up to 10,000 people, and it even connects to Google Sheets.
Does it track when people open the email?
Yes, it does. Actually, it tracks openings and clicks through its reporting feature.
Wow, that sounds like the perfect thing for a business owner trying to manage his mass emails.
Speaking of which, companies such as Uber, Twitter, and LinkedIn are already using GMAS for their email campaigns.
Oh, man. Okay, you got to tell me where I can look that up.
Check out GMAS online at www.gmas.co, the ultimate solution for mass emailing through Gmail.
Well, it looks like you're all done with your tacos there. So welcome back, Senor Boyle.
Oh, thanks, El Bandito. Yeah, that was very good. Oh, yes, and welcome back to the Power Hour of Love, starring Charbel and
El Bandito. And welcome back to what is our new Geek Block right here on Podunk Radio at podunkradio.com, where you can listen to us live on Thursday nights at 10, or you can catch our replay, which we'll post up on our Facebook tomorrow.
Absolutely, El Bandito. And you can hear all these great tracks again, hear me eating tacos, you talking to Miss Kelly Jade. And speaking of great tunes, it looks like we have our next musical break. Here we have Florida's own Pathways with Misere.
Blood
That was Pathways with their hit Misery. And boy, am I glad we're tied in with the Ghostbusters, because it sounds like we just summoned a devil with that song. That was some hardcore awesome shit right there.
Absolutely, El Bandito. The Pathways is right out of South Florida, and they're really making their mark, not just on the Florida music scene, but they're about to branch off and go out. Like, I believe they're heading up to New York City to tour next. So definitely going up and down the East Coast, you know, probably going up to hang out with our buddies in Shinobi Ninja.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So definitely, you know, those are our friends up in New York. Be sure to keep an eye out for Pathways. They just played actually in Fort Pierce last weekend.
Oh, nice.
At the Midtown Grill with Nation of Decay. Like I said, they're definitely making their mark, and it'll be good to see where they go next.
Yeah, they're definitely tearing it up and moving on up. So, hey, good for you guys. That is fantastic. I love their logo and their artwork on their webpage, too. It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
You know? So they definitely have great production. Everything's put together. And, you know, just keep an eye on them if you ever wanted to watch a band like skyrocket from their humble beginnings into superstardom. These are the guys to watch.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, not to say, you know, let's just live in the past of events. You know, we talked about Green Jello and then Pathways, but I think it's about time we get to some upcoming events.
Oh, definitely. Let's go ahead and tell all these beautiful people where they can go and find these up-and-coming acts.
Well, on Saturday, August 27th, there's something really cool going down at the Kelsey Theater in Lake Park. They have the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Ooh, yeah. That's a personal favorite for me. Absolutely. I'll never forget the first time we went to the Rocky Horror Picture Show in Orlando, you had a Frankfurter straddle your seat and face hump you.
Pretty much, man. Pretty much. Not to mention that he was a 6'8" black man, definitely, it was a show to be seen. That's the Rich Weirdos up in Orlando, if you guys are ever up in that area. But down at Lake Park, they're going to have the Rocky Horror Picture Show on August 27th. The doors are going to open up at 8:30 and the show starts at 9 p.m., a little earlier than the typical, midnight showing that Rocky usually gets. But hey,
that's okay.
Get out there a little earlier, get to see the show.
You have time to have some sexy times afterwards.
And definitely that movie can get you in some real wild moods.
Yeah, that can get you in a weird mood. It's like sexy times, but something's going to happen. Something weird's going to happen. You know it.
You got to let your freak flag fly. But, there's always that old thing, don't dream it, be it. That's from Rocky Horror Picture Show. But, tickets are $10 in advance, $12 at the door. It is a 18 and up show. And there's going to be $5 prop bags available Kelsey Theater. But just as a note, just so everybody knows, there's no outside props allowed.
Yeah, don't bring your own props. You don't need anything. They're going to have their own little bags there. You buy them. They'll have all the rubber bands and everything that you need inside.
Yep.
Your hair ties and all that stuff.
Probably little water guns or something like that. Yeah, they'll have some cool stuff. Kelsey Theater is so nice too, I could just imagine if they give people rice and stuff. Oh man, it could get pretty messy quick. But
they have a great drop down projector screen It is like a full size movie theater screen in there. It is a huge auditorium. They have these beautiful seats that they put out because dance club and a stage and everything. Yeah. But they almost completely turn it into this like movie theater setting in there. So this is probably going to be quite an awesome show. And we met the owner down there, AJ. He's a super great guy too.
Yes, AJ's
very nice. So make sure you go down there, show some love to the Kelsey Theater.
Yep, and definitely check out a good night with Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Fuck that chin.
Fuck that. That's awesome, man. Come to think of it, Rocky Horror is probably 40. It came out in 75. So yeah, what is that, 41 years old?
I don't know. How old is Tim Curry now? He's about 700. So. He lives forever because he was that monster in It.
Oh, that's right. He was also Legend.
The Bighorn guy in Legend?
That wasn't
Tim Curry, was it?
Yeah. What was his name though? He wasn't Legend. What was his name?
He was just Bighorn guy. I don't know.
Yeah, he did. But yeah, that was absolutely Tim Curry.
Wow.
He was also the bad guy in Home Alone 2. Remember the
He wasn't a bad guy. That guy was totally right. That kid had stole that credit card and was illegally staying there. And then he threatened with a prank to do criminal activities guns. That kid should have went to jail. He gets presents on Christmas. That movie's bullshit.
Very good point, Elvin. Maybe we'll have to check that out on the Secret Identities commentary sometime.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe they can hook up with the guys from Pathways because, the people from Home Alone definitely sold their soul to the devil to get the gross up on that piece of shit.
That's awesome. Well, they did say, there's a theory, not to go too far off the beaten path, that John Candy in the first movie is the devil. And that,
just like in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He has the mom, played by the same lady who played the mom in Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
He asks her to sell her soul, and that's why he helps her get home to the kid. It's a crazy theory. But
dude, speaking of crazy theories, not to interrupt the events thing,
yeah,
but if anyone hasn't seen it, there's a YouTube video out there that talks about how Back to the Future predicts the entire 9/11 tragedy.
This
is fantastic. It's like a 12 and a half minute video. It's absurdly long. This guy repeats himself constantly, but it is so mind-bendingly fucked that you should totally watch it and just laugh your ass off, because it is like the lengths this guy goes to make the movie correlate to the tragedy of 9/11 is preposterous in ways that can only be described as hilarious.
That's awesome.
But anyways, let's get back to our beautiful events.
Yeah, tell them what's coming up next though, Bandito.
Okay, well, it looks like on Thursday, September 1st, they have an exclusive premiere of Rob Zombie's 31.
Oh, yeah. this should be pretty wild. I've seen the trailer for this one.
Yeah, this is one of those new horror movies by Rob Zombie, which are always like pants-shitting terror, and El Bandito tries to stay away from because it is hard to score with the ladies when you have trousers full of poopies. But Senor Boyle is definitely going to make an appearance down there at the Cinemark Plaza in Boca Raton.
Absolutely.
This will be at 7 p.m. It is $15, but seats are limited, so make sure you get there early.
Mm-hmm.
And the premiere is showing of Rob Zombie's new film, but it's also including a Q&A with Rob Zombie himself.
That's pretty awesome.
That is more than pretty awesome. That is super fucking awesome. I saw him on Cupcake Wars one time.
Uh-huh.
I know that's...
That's definitely not the place I'd expect them, but okay. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely not the place you would expect El Bandito to be watching, but hey. But yeah, he was on Cupcake Wars, and he seemed like a very interesting man and definitely someone I would like to ask questions to.
Absolutely.
So make sure to join the Q&A down there. And there will also be new music videos and behind-the-scenes featurettes and things like that. So make sure you check this out. Again, that's Thursday, September 1st, the exclusive premiere of Rob Zombie's 31 at Cinemark Plaza in Boca Raton.
Awesome. I'll be seeing you guys all down there. I know me and Justin McPatches are going to hit that one up. So definitely look for us. Maybe we'll hit up some interviews as well while we're down there. Well, that weekend is a power-packed weekend. Actually, is that Labor Day weekend? I think it is.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it is.
El Bandito doesn't know any women that are expecting. So.
Man, I'm telling you, like I'm pretty sure, but there's lots of cool events. Friday, September 2nd, we got Take Warning at the Gin Mill in Jensen Beach. This is a free show, and Take Warning will be starting at 9 p.m., but most importantly, it's also Take Warning's lead singer's Lauren's birthday party.
Oh.
Yeah, so that should be a lot of fun. Definitely going to go down there and say happy birthday to Lauren, and I'm sure she's going to sing lots of awesome punk rock covers back at us. So,
yeah, definitely. Take Warning is an amazing band. We've seen them quite a few times, and the new Gin Mill down at Jensen Beach is supposed to be gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, nice place, big room.
So, and yeah, their price is right. I mean, for a free show, you can't ask for more than Take Warning. So get down there, help them celebrate Lauren's birthday, and have a few drinks of your own.
Absolutely. Maybe even there'll be some cake.
But if that action-packed weekend isn't enough, right after that, on Saturday, September 3rd, Stoked Shows presents Back to School Bash. Now, this is going to be at ER Bradley's, and it is another free show in support of Connection Education Center of the Palm Beaches. That is a charter center for children with autism and special needs. The show will be featuring Kegasaurus Rex, Double Nickel, Slow Funk Bump, and J.C. Doyer and the Blackbirds.
Yep, yeah. ER Bradley's is located down on Clematis in West Palm Beach. Been there a few times myself. It's kind of like an indoor-outdoor venue. Lots of fun, lots of good stuff, and our buddies down at Stoked are putting it on, so can't get much better than that.
That is down on Clematis. You know where that is down in West Palm Beach, man. We don't even have to tell you where that is. You know, it's a free show down there at ER Bradley's. Check it out. But bring money for the raffle there and try to support. Maybe bring some extra money for donations. Like we said, it's the Connection Education Center of the Palm Beaches. You know, it's for the children, man. It's for people with autism and special needs. So bring a few extra dollars. Show some love. It's a free show. You get some free entertainment. You're going to have a spectacular night. Might as well spread a little bit of love while you're there.
Absolutely. Say what's up to Pat Thorne of Stoked Shows, who's putting the show on. Plus, you're going to have Joe Dyer down there with Double Nickel. So that's always, we're going to definitely have some, you know, local guys putting on some great stuff down there in West Palm. And like you said, man, for a great cause, help it out, you know, go out for a good night.
Yeah. And show some love. I mean, that's what the Power Hour of Love is all about, spreading the love out there to all the beautiful peoples. And if you want to share a little bit of love our way, make sure to go on our Facebook and like our page there. Or you can shoot us an email at powerhourofloveatgmail.com if you have any questions for us, or if you want to know any of the latest nerd news, or you want us to talk about any popular nerd topics or anything like that, or if you need any spectacular love advice from the two sexiest men in all of radio. And if they're busy, you can call us too, or shoot us an email. So hit us up on Facebook, hit us up on Gmail, and we'd love to hear from you peoples. Otherwise, we'll see you out there.
Absolutely. Well, here we go. We have our last musical break of the night. We've got a track here by Kegasaurus Rex, who's going to be performing at the ER Bradley show. This is One Way Avenue.
And that was Kegasaurus Rex with One Way Avenue.
What'd you think of that track, El Bandito?
Oh, I absolutely loved that. From the minute I saw those guys in Viking helmets and their little t-shirts with decals of a Tyrannosaurus Rex ripping a keg in half, I was pretty much on board with whatever the hell they were doing. So.
Hell yeah, man. I think Kegasaurus Rex and the Pub Wreckers need to have a meeting of the minds at some time in the future.
Oh, definitely. It sounds like they're a match made in heaven, but...
Oh, you know, with the beer bongettes.
There you go. You got it right for once.
Yeah, Jimmy and the guys in Pub Wreckers are great. But yes, Kegasaurus Rex. Actually, I met these guys at Green Jello.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, they came up from West Palm Beach to help support Carol Stop Calling,
nice,
who opened the show, but also to check out Green Jello, you know. So yeah, they were really nice guys, got me some CDs and stuff like, yeah, it was really cool, man.
Yeah.
Like they I'm very much looking forward to seeing them at the ER Bradley show in West Palm Beach.
Yeah, I can imagine they're super fun guys because, you know, just looking... Or, you know, just listening to the song, it is metal. It is definitely hardcore, but it's really fun. You know, it just has that fun kind of upbeat, you know, kind of tone about it. You know, I hope that's what they were going for. I hope that wasn't like a really dark song and I'm misinterpreting.
No. I think you got it right. You hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah. Man, I mean, you look at their stage attire, you know, the kind of performance like we were talking about earlier. And here's guys who are making you laugh, kind of putting on a show, letting it all hang out and having fun, man. And that's what it's all about. So,
you know it, man. And, you know, this episode of Power Hour tonight should be dubbed the Metal Hour because we've definitely dug into the deeper, darker metal side of the Power Hour of Love. And you know, like I said, I like it. I mean, it's good to have a little mix, you know. Of course, you know, we're on Podunk Radio. We play punk rock, but guess what? On the Power Hour, we play all kinds of stuff.
We play what we want. So.
Exactly. Definitely. You know, it's all about, you know, bringing everybody together, like you said, man, all under one roof, you know.
Yeah, we play what we love and what we hope all of you beautiful people will love.
Absolutely.
So, you know, sometimes we take a little bit of metal and you know, turn it inside out and you find it has a nice little metal heart on the inside. So there you go.
You got it, man. And, you know, like we said, you know, Thursday nights, you know, here on Podunk Radio, it's the Geek Block, you know, starting first with Underground Horror Radio and then finishing up here with Power Hour of Love starring Charbol and
El Bandito.
So we look forward to seeing you guys in 2 weeks and, you know, definitely tune in and, you know, hang out with us on Thursday nights. This is the place to be.
Absolutely. And make sure to keep an eye out for our new sister show, The Secret Identity Commentary. It doesn't play on the air because you're supposed to watch it along with a movie, and that would be kind of weird. But they are videos up on YouTube, and you can link to it on our Facebook page. It's Secret Identity Commentary, and that has Senor Boyle and myself watching a movie with a special guest friend and doing an audio commentary that you can listen along to as though we were hanging out with you in your living room. So come check us out here on the Power Hour of Love. Check us out on Secret Identity Commentary. Hit us up on either channel and spread the love.
Absolutely. Let's go get some more tacos.
Let's do it.
Rock on.
Are you talking about eating tacos? Because you know the kind of tacos I like.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Things were going so great. But what happened? Something must have happened.
It's not you. It's me.
Listen, I was thinking we should break up or whatever.
I am breaking up with you!
Consider that a divorce.